The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, all these words, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One of the first things we do when we meet someone is to introduce ourselves, right? To give our names. There is something fundamentally important in society about sharing your name. I go to conferences and we are given name tags to wear everywhere we go. The name serves not only as a way to address someone, but also as a credential. And just think of that phrase used by someone who is privileged enough to have a known name. Don't you know who I am? Indeed, names are so important that we spend time thinking up creative names for our pets and our cars, even boats. We have family names which identify us as part of a particular group or clan. And we have given names which were chosen for us by elders in that group, often parents, but not always. We are given names that for some reason are important to the people choosing the name. Some of us like our names and some of us don't. Regardless, our names are closely tied to our identities. The topic of names and identities came up in a different way last spring when I hosted a panel for my pre-health students. I had two transgender individuals come and talk about what it was like to seek health care in this country. Something they both talked about was the importance of their name and of having a name that matched their identity. They explained that many have names that they choose, but are often stuck using the name they were born with because it can be quite difficult and very expensive to legally change a name. So they continue to be called by a name that does not match their identity. And they choose a name, they've chosen this name that fits, and many people will call them by that name, but if they have to keep the birth name legally, then they are living with a name, in some places, that doesn't fit. And this can be awkward. Think about the doctor's office where your legal name is called out loud. There's this mismatch when the nurse calls out, "Fred Smith, Mr. Smith," and the person that walks up to follow the nurse identifies as female and looks female. Names and identities are so close entwined, and even when we don't realize it. This has been true for a very long time. Biblically, names have often been used to describe an important characteristic of what or who is being named. We can think of different characters that have been named or have had their names changed to signify something important. So, of course, there is the first human name, Adam, a play on the word Adama, which means ground or earth, because, of course, he was created from the ground by God. Then Adam is given the privilege of naming all of the rest of the creatures that come. Sarai is renamed Sarah by the Lord because she becomes a princess in her own right. Jacob becomes Israel after a wrestling match with God, because Israel means one who wrestles with God. Simon is renamed Peter by Jesus, because Peter means rock, and Peter is to become the foundation of the church. And of course, there is Jesus, named by God before he was even conceived in the womb, a name given to Mary by the angel Gabriel. So the name Jesus is actually a Latinized version of the Hebrew name Joshua, or Yehoshua, which means God's salvation, or God delivers. God has ordained that this baby would be known as God's salvation, God's deliverer. And this was the name the baby was officially given on the eighth day after his birth, when he was circumcised, as was and still is the Jewish custom. There were certainly other Jewish boys named Joshua at the time, but this Joshua, or as we call him, Jesus, was different. He is not just any other Jewish baby boy. In Jesus, God brings about the salvation that people have been waiting for. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. All the prophecies of the servant of the Lord are to be fulfilled in this person, in God's anointed one. And this naming and circumcision of Jesus is a reminder that Jesus fulfilled the law in every way. So Paul described this in one of our readings from today that Scott read, right? When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. You are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, also an heir through God. And while we can think of the law with a narrow idea of Jewish regulations or the law of Moses, scholars suggest that Paul is actually referring much more broadly in this passage to being human, to having a human nature. Jesus was fully human, and because of that, could redeem all of humanity. He could share his kinship so that we all become inheritors of God's grace and forgiveness. And this is done because there is nothing we ourselves can do to earn that grace. Our adoption is a gift that makes us children and no longer slaves. We often think, and maybe have been told, that this being a slave is referring to being a slave to original sin, or a slave to trying to keep all of the regulations we find in the Old Testament. But Paul is also referring to being a slave to the external and internal human expectations and ideals. Expectations as communal as believing that someone with power and money and fame is somehow more significant than those without, and expectations as personal as believing we need to give a certain impression or live a certain way. At this time of year, it is especially easy to feel bad about any perceived failures in Christmas preparations and celebrations, to feel like we didn't spend enough on gifts, or feel guilty about eating too much, or even to feel that something is wrong with us because we weren't happy and merry this holiday. Or, of course, any number of things that we can beat ourselves up about on any given day. But we are invited as children of God to let go of and to not be slaves to our self-criticism or the criticism from others for not living up to being perfect human beings. Because the love of God is freely given to every imperfect human being, and nothing can take that away. In Jesus, we have been brought close to God in a way that we have never experienced before, because he is something that no prophet or great religious could ever be. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Not merely God on our side, but God physically present among us. Through Jesus, salvation and redemption have come. The relationship between humanity and God is made whole and right, regardless of how we succeed or fail to live up to some kind of human standard. In another of Paul's letters, his letter to the Philippians, we hear, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus is the name above all names because he lived up to this name for us. He is God's salvation, God's deliverer. It is in the name of Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel, that there is an assurance of unconditional love that can carry us into this new year and into every year that follows. Deep joy that will be with us long after the festivities of this holiday season have ended. It is this deep joy that I pray you will take with you, giving thanks for it and sharing it abundantly. Amen.